Number one, he says you are going to reap what you sow. Number two, you reap later than you sow. I mean, you think about a farmer, he doesn't plant one day and reap the next day. It takes time for the crop to grow. In the same way when it comes to sin. You don't reap immediately the result of that sin. And the devil has a lot of people fooled. They'll go into sin and they'll see that there's no judgment coming from God, and they'll think to themselves, "Oh, I'm getting by with this. Hey, no problem." And that's not true. God makes a promise and He keeps a promise. You will reap what you sow, and judgment will come. Israel thought, I mean, the northern kingdom and their sin went on for 200 years before God brought down the judgment. And all throughout that period, He warned them with prophets and preachers. He said, judgment's coming. If you don't turn back to Me, if you don't get right, if you don't come back into the covenant that we had as God and a people, judgment is coming. And the people went on and on and on in their sin and said, "Oh, I'm going to get by with this. No, no problem. God's not going to get me." But you can be sure it's a law, biblical principle, a biblical law. You will reap what you sow. It may not come immediately, but it will come. And then number three, you always reap more than you sow. You always get more than you bargain for. Now, it's true in nature. I mean, you take a bushel of corn, you can, and you sow the field, and you get ears and ears of corn back. That is, if you're a good farmer. I mean, I've had a lot of disappointments, and that's why I'm glad I don't have to depend on my husbandry. Is that what they call that, where you're to survive? But people that know what they're doing, they plant a little, they get a lot. In the same way, the same thing is true when it comes to sin. Hosea says, you're going to sow the wind, but you're going to reap the tornado. You're going to get back worse than you sow. And, you know, and the devil, I mean, he's really sneaky in this. He makes it look so good. I mean, but it always comes back worse. I heard a preacher say one time, sin always takes you further than you want to go, and it always keeps you longer than you want to stay. And we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. It gets hold of you. You become a slave to it. And but know for sure that you're going to reap what you sow. So let's look at chapter 8 tonight. Sort of divided it into five parts. And we're going to talk about five different harvests. Five things that were sown by the nation of Israel. And the five harvests that they expect to reap. The first one is the harvest of rejecting God. That'll be in verses 1 through 3. Then there's the harvest of self-will. That'll be in verses 4 through 7. Then there'll be the harvest that results from having alliances with the pagans and getting involved in the things that they're involved in. That'll be in verses 8 through 10. Verses 11 through 13, the harvest of the wicked worship that we've talked about. And we'll talk a little bit more about it tonight. And then in verse 14, the last verse of the chapter, the harvest of forgetting God. So let's look at it. And again, the more I study this book and the more I study Hosea, the more I come to the conclusion that this is not just a book that was written thousands of years ago to the northern kingdom, the nation of Israel, but it's a book that applies today to our nation, to us as United States of America. Some of the same things that Hosea was dealing with Israel about, he could come and preach the same messages that he did back then today, and it would apply. I mean, his message would be right on. So let's look at these 14 verses that make up chapter 8. He says in verse 1, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law." The trumpet, as God set it up way back when he instructed Moses, was that instrument that was used, a ram's horn, that was used to call the people together. And I was reading it a couple weeks ago, I can't remember, but God gave Moses instructions. He said, you keep the people that play the trumpet by you, and when you and I'll just I'll make it up. I can't remember it, but he says, if you blow it once, that means I want just the leaders of the tribes to come. If you blow it twice, I want all the people to come. And if it was blown a certain way, it was meant that there's an enemy coming, and the army needs to rise up and get ready to fight. And that's the trumpet or the ram's horn that Hosea is referring to in verse 1. It was used to warn of approaching danger. It was used to call the army to get ready to fight. And that's what Hosea is saying here. He says, blow the trumpet because judgment's coming. He says, or God, shall come as an eagle. And if you look at that word eagle, it really paints the picture of both an eagle and a vulture that comes to attack its prey. The eagle comes swiftly and brings about death. And then what does the vulture do? Comes and eats it up. And that's exactly what Hosea was saying was going to happen to the nation of Israel. Their punishment was going to be, they were going to be destroyed as a nation, and then they were going to suffer. And he talks about it down in verse 8, Israel is swallowed up. They were going to be swallowed up because of their sin. And the eagle and the vulture that Hosea is talking about, of course, is the Assyrians and the Babylonians. The Assyrians that were going to come and take the 10 northern tribes. Babylonians were going to come and take the 2 southern tribes to bring about God's judgment. Why? The last part of that verse tells us. Because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my laws. Turn back in your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. This is where the nation of Israel, before they were divided, was out at Mount Sinai. And God was setting up that covenant that Hosea mentions in verse 1. That the people have now trespassed. Look at verses 4. Let me start reading, just read a couple, 3 verses, beginning in verse 4, Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. And isn't it interesting? Here God says, I'm going to bear you on eagle's wings. He uses a picture of an eagle to say, I'm going to carry you out of slavery. And now he's turned that metaphor around. He says, now judgment is going to come like an eagle, and you're going to go back into slavery. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words with which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And God told Moses, he said, you go back and tell them, if they will obey my laws, if I'm going to set up a covenant, an agreement with them. And when I teach the children about the Bible, and we talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament, that word testament means covenant. That word covenant means agreement. And so we have the old agreement and the new agreement. The old agreement was with the nation of Israel that said, just what we read in those verses, nation of Israel, if you will obey my laws. And what were the laws? 10 commandments. He was going to give them to them on Mount Sinai. Now, the 10 commandments were 10 basic principles. And then there's hundreds of laws in the rest of the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers that were specific applications of those 10 principles. And the old covenant, the old agreement was, God said, if you will walk according to those principles, if you will keep these laws, the specific application of these principles. And you remember, when Jesus came in the New Testament, he says, don't just keep the letter of the law, keep the spirit of the law. Walk according to the principle. That's what I want you to do. God says, you do that, I'll be your God, you'll be my people, we'll have a special relationship. Now, what was the new agreement? What was the new Testament? What was the agreement in the New Testament? Accept Jesus. You accept Jesus and you'll be my people. And so, Hosea was saying, the judgment is going to come because you've forgotten about the agreement that we had. God said, he said, you're going to be my people. We're going to have this special relationship. You keep my laws, I'll bless you. I'll bring good things to you. Not only will I be your God, not only will you be my people, I will bless you. I'll give you the good things of life. Look at verse 2. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Hosea is saying, when this judgment comes, the people of Israel are going to raise up and say, God, we know you. Problem was that they were saying one thing and with their lives living another thing. This would have been a good prayer if they were indeed people of the covenant, if they had kept the laws, if they had obeyed God. But they had completely turned their back on those laws, on those principles. They were walking, as we're going to talk about in a minute, in self-will. And God says, I'm not going to hear that prayer. They should have known God. They should have been God's people. But God said, I'm not going to hear that prayer. Israel has cast off, verse 3, has cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. And this is a tragic picture, and it happens every day in 1994. He says, they've cast off the thing that's good. God says, you stay in this covenant, you stay in this relationship with me, and I'll bless you. I'll give you the good things of life. And Hosea says, they've cast that off. They've cast off the good things that I wanted to give them because they've rejected the agreement or the covenant that we had with each other. And what have they traded that for? The things of the world. Satan comes in, and I mean, this is nothing new. He started with Adam and Eve. Remember in the Garden of Eden? I mean, think about all the ways that God blessed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And Satan came and focused on the one thing that God told Adam and Eve they couldn't have. The fruit of one tree. God says, he said, don't eat of that tree, and the day you do, you shall die. And they did. They were separated from him. And Satan came in, and instead of reminding Adam and Eve of all the good things that God gave them, he focused on the one thing they couldn't have. You ever have that happen with your children? I mean, I mean, you try to be lenient, and you try to, you know, to give them good things. You have a couple of things that you don't want them to do. Maybe even just one thing. And what happens? That's the thing they want. Sure, that's right. Yeah, you never let me do anything. They focus on that one thing. And isn't that what we do sometimes? I mean, God's blessed us in many, many ways. And we forget about it. And we trade that goodness for the garbage that the world has to offer. We forget about God. We forget about our relationship with him. And if we're not careful, we throw away all the good for these things that are only going to last a few years. I mean, we've talked about this a lot of different times, on a lot of different occasions. The things of God and the things of heaven are going to last for eternity. There's going to be no end to them. The things of this earth that may look good to us now, that may say, hey, come after me now. I'm really what brings joy. I'm really what brings happiness. I'm really what you want. And we trade the eternal things for the things that are only going to last for 70, 80 years. The kind of house you have 100 years from now, it's not going to make any difference. The kind of car you drive 100 years from now is not going to make a bit of difference. How much money you have in the bank 100 years from now is not going to make any difference. But what you did for God and how you live for God is going to make a whole bunch of difference 100 years from now. And we need to change our investment strategy. Instead of focusing on these short-term investments, we need to get into some long-term investments and begin to build our treasures in the bank of heaven, because they're going to last forever. So that's what Hosea is saying in verse 3. They've cast off the good, and they've replaced it with all this garbage that the world has to offer. All right, look at verses 4 through 7. Let me read all of those together, and we'll talk about them just for a minute. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. My anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also. The workman made it. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. Now, in these verses, Hosea is talking about, he contrasts it to the first three verses. They rejected God and his covenant and his laws in verses 1 through 3, and now they've come and they've done what they wanted to do. They followed their will. And we don't have time to read these verses that I have written down in my notes, but the northern kingdom, these 10 tribes that Hosea is prophesying to, was set up by God as punishment to Solomon. You remember God made a promise to Solomon. He says, if you will walk in the ways of your father David and will let me be your God, I will bless you. And when Solomon started out, that's what he did. He walked after the ways of his father David. But Solomon had a lot of wives and a lot of concubines, and some of those marriages were not marriages that God blessed. His wives worshipped other gods, and to please his wives, Solomon started worshiping those other gods. And God said, all right, you're going to have to be punished. Now, God had made a promise to David. He said, your seed will sit on the throne of Israel forever. And so when Solomon turned away from God, God punished the nation of Israel. It was his punishment that the nation would be split. He kept the tribe of Judah and part of the tribe of Benjamin for the southern kingdom. That was to keep his promise to David. And the kings that ruled in the southern kingdom were all descendants of David. And we haven't talked about them much, but most of them walked after God. They did what God wanted them to do. The northern kingdom, you remember the first king was Jeroboam the first. He was the son of a captain in David's army. Nebal was his dad's name. And God came to Jeroboam and said, now look, this split is not, my intent is not for it to be permanent. It's a temporary split, and it's punishment for Solomon's sin. And God said to Jeroboam, and you can go back and read 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, that's where all this is. God came to Jeroboam and said, now Jeroboam, if you will walk after me, if you will keep my commandments, I will bless you, and your seed will sit on the throne of this kingdom as long as it's separated. If you will walk after me. Jeroboam, when he got to be king, he got worried, and he said, now if the people have to go back to Jerusalem to worship, back to the southern kingdom to worship, my power and my kingdom's not going to last very long. I need to set up some centers of worship here in the northern kingdom so that my people don't have to go back and worship in Jerusalem. So what he did was made two golden calves. He put one in Dan, which was a city in the north part of his kingdom, and he put one in Bethel, which was a city in the south part of his kingdom. And he instructed his people, when you go to worship God, you go and worship these calves. Now, they were calves just like Aaron set up in the wilderness. Remember when Moses was up on Mount Sinai and didn't come back right away? Fashioned in the same manner. In fact, when Jeroboam set him up, he said the same thing that Aaron did when he set up his calf. He pointed to him and he said to his people, there be the gods that brought you out of Egypt. And he ascribed to those golden calves all the wonders and the miracles that God did when he brought the nation of Israel out. So God, in punishment of Jeroboam, didn't let his seed sit on the throne of Israel. And you go back and read it. Every one of the kings that ruled in the northern kingdom after Jeroboam worshiped these calves. And as time went on, it got worse and worse and worse. I mean, the time that Hosea is prophesying is near the end, when judgment's about to come. And they've started out from simple calf worship to now where they've got this perverse sexual sin that's part of their worship. And that's what Hosea means in verse 7. He said they sold the wind. I mean, it started out bad enough. Started out worshiping calves. But now it's gone further and further. They've gotten further and further into sin. They're going to reap the whirlwind. You know how sometimes a tropical storm gets out in the ocean, starts going around and around? What does it do? It builds up strength. It turns into a hurricane. And that's what Hosea was saying. That's what the nation of Israel have done. And that's what happens in sin. I mean, you get caught up in it, and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And God says they're going to reap. They're going to reap what they sow. Started out, and it was bad enough starting out worshiping calf. And it got worse and worse as time went on. Look at verse 8. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. Let me go back to verse 7 for just a minute and make a comment on the last part of that verse. It says, it hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so, be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. What God was saying is the nation of Israel was going to be live an empty kind of existence. If God says the wheat's not going to bud. If it does, somebody else can come and eat it. And that's the kind of life that sin leads to. It's an empty life. We trade the goodness that God has and we think we're getting something better. But when you really look at what you get, it's like vest sleeves. There ain't nothing there. It's an empty bag. May look good, but it's an empty bag. Verse 8, Israel swallowed up. And in the book, the guy had an interesting story about a hunter, a bear hunter, and a bear. After the bear hunter took aim at the bear, and he was about to kill the bear with his rifle. And the bear said, let's negotiate. We can both be winners. We can both get what we want out of this transaction. And he said a couple minutes later, the bear walked away alone. And they both got what they wanted. The bear got a full stomach. The hunter got a fur coat. And that's what God was saying was going to happen to Israel. I'll explain that to you that didn't get it after the service. But God said that's what's going to happen to Israel because they formed these alliances with these heathen nations. They're going to be swallowed up by them. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. And Hosea was painting a picture. They're as stubborn as a donkey. I mean, they're in their self-will. They've gone and they've established these alliances with these heathen nations. And they're getting in with these heathen nations. And these heathen nations are leading them further and further and further and further away from God. And that's why it's so important that you pick the people that you associate with wisely. Because the folks you hang around with are either going to pull you closer to God or they're going to pull you further away. Just what happened to the nation of Israel. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. A little bit, how long is that punishment going to be? Hosea didn't specify. But the king of princes, talking about the king of Assyria, was going to come in and swallow up the nation of Israel. Verse 11, because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great thing of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. God says, I wrote down, I gave them the principles of life. I gave them the law. But he says, they became as a strange thing to Israel. They had turned away from God so much that the word of God became strange and foreign to them. If you ever get to the point where this book becomes strange and foreign to you, you're in a heap of trouble. This is you need to stay in this book. You need to stay close to this book You need to study this book. Verse 13, they sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it. But the Lord accepted them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. Hosea is talking about the peace offering. And it was an offering that God set up to represent the peace that existed between him and his people. And it was represented by God and the people sharing a meal. When you brought a peace offering, certain part of that offering went on the altar. The liver, the intestines, but some pieces of the animal were burnt. That was God's part of the meal. The meat of that animal was eaten by the people. And it represented the peace that existed between God and man. And what Hosea is saying, they make the sacrifice, but there's no peace. There's no fellowship. And then in verse 14, in this last verse, Hosea sort of gets down to the bottom line. He says, this is the root problem. He says, for Israel hath forgotten his maker. And buildeth temples, and Judah had multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. What Hosea is saying, the root problem of Israel and the root problem of Judah, both the north and the south kingdom, is they forgot God. They forgot that he was their maker. They forgot that he was their covenant God. They forgot that he was the source of all their blessings. And it's easy for anybody to forget God. And the reason I say this is because so many people do it. Forget God. How's it start? You forget to thank him for the good things that he does for you. You forget to notice those things and make yourself aware of those things. And it starts gradually. I mean, one day, it doesn't work that one day you're serving God and the next day you forget him. I mean, the journey between those two points is a long journey. It's a gradual journey. It's a downhill journey. It's a journey that none of us should make. We should not forget God. And that's what Hosea was saying. They forgot God. They forgot what he did for them. They forgot his promises. They forgot his promises of judgment. And he says, I'm going to send a fire. He talks about returning to Egypt. Now, they weren't going to go back into Egypt, but they were going to go back into the slavery, the same kind of slavery they were in Egypt. The Assyrians were going to come, and they were going to take Israel. And again, God brought that punishment about to bring the people back to himself. I mean, he wasn't punishing them just to be mean. It wasn't just because he wanted to take vengeance. He wanted to bring that people back to himself. And again, there's so many things of what Hosea has said that would apply to the United States of America today. And we need to heed the lessons. Any comment or question?